The Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, The Truth About Us, go to BrantHanson.com.
Greetings to you. I am Brant. Producer Sherry is here. I have Asperger's. I am a white guy. I am from Illinois. I like robots.
That's a lot of information.
Yes. Producer Sherry does not like robots.
I'm not. I mean, I don't dislike them.
No, you don't. You're neutral. She is neutral on robots. She is from Pittsburgh. She's an African-American lady. She's single. I'm married. Let's see. What else we got? Personal information. I'm just trying to give you like a little primer. Oh, we both love to actually talk about who Jesus is. That's one of the wonderful things about getting to do this job. Not just talk about, you know, happy religious stuff, but actually who he is himself. We both love that. So we'll do a lot of that. It's so critical. Whatever your job is, and same thing in my job, you got to be on the cutting edge all the time. And so for me, the cutting edge means being a shock jock.
Really?
So I shock people, but I'm rated G, so it's with information that's shocking.
Of course.
This is shocking. Okay. This has to do with Mother's Day.
Okay.
So brace yourself for Mother's Day information that you'll want to share with other people. This is why the shock jock thing works, because then you go buzz about
that's
it.
That's too much unpacking. Okay. Just let people here's the information.
Okay, good point. The average number of diapers a mom changes, says here, by the second birthday, 7,300 diapers over the course of 2 years. That is amazing. And in fact, that seems actually too high to me.
Yeah.
Why? It really does.
Oh, yeah, it does. So that's interesting that you're bringing it to us.
It'll be effectively it'd be 10 times a day for 2 years? I don't think so.
So what is the shock here? The fact that you don't even believe the fact you've given us?
That's the number that the experts are saying. I don't even believe my own shock. I don't even believe my own facts.
That's shocking to me.
I'm shocked, and I'm going to buzz about that. I'm going to go out and buzz about my show. People can be like, where'd you hear that? I heard about it on my own show. I don't even know if I believe it. Jesus is not a good luck charm that I wear around my neck to ward off trouble. This is something my friend Cy Rogers said. He passed away a couple weeks ago. But I remember this, just with all the stuff that we're going through, and maybe this will mean something to you too, but I just love this quote from him. Again, it's, Jesus is not a good luck charm that I wear around my neck to ward off trouble. That's being superstitious, which is based on fear. Fear that I must do the right things to keep bad things from happening. Faith, however, says even when bad things happen, I shall remain confident in the character of God. Now this is awesome. I say this as someone who knows I need other people. I am an introvert. I know I have to balance that.
Good.
But if this restaurant catches on, in Sweden they have this. Please come to America. It's a one-person restaurant. There's a table in the middle of a field with one chair.
Oh, goodness.
And they have a zip line that zips the that zips the food to you, and then
you just grab your little meal off the zip line and continue on
and it's
by
just,
yourself.
Just me out there with my meal and my book and one zip line. I like it. So the question was, what are you learning in all of this? If you feel like God's trying to show you something, what do you think it is you're learning? Sarah said on Facebook, she said, he's telling me to slow down. Stay in peace. I've been reading and praying the Psalms since this began, and that's what I'm learning in the middle of all of our messy days with four kids, grad school, restless spouse, and a half-on, half-off work schedule. Lots of growing and good happening here. I just need to take a deep breath and give myself permission to cherish it. I totally get that, Sarah. I think a lot of people are in the Psalms right now.
Yes, I have been memorizing Psalm 91.
Is that right?
91.
91,
yes.
Okay, yep. Yeah. I had somebody ask me too, because we've been talking about this on the air, and I mentioned how some of these songs, which psalms are these songs that are, you know, lyrics, but they don't always end upbeat.
Right.
And that's hard for some to take. And someone said, can you give me an example of one? It's I mentioned Psalm 88. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
But it leaves you kind of hanging. But I love that honesty. No way. If I was reading Psalms, no way if I'm a critic of Christianity or Judaism, do I read that and go, no, they just don't. They're not being honest about it, their faith. Look at it. So thankful for everybody who listens to our podcast. Also, the guys at Fellowship Home Loans, they help people. They come up with creative ideas to help you with your mortgage or your refinancing. They listen.
They enjoy their customers. I just really appreciate them. Mike and Brian are the guys at Fellowship Home Loans. They're fantastic. If you want to talk to them, you can. It's 800-804-SAVE for Fellowship Home Loans. We so appreciate them sponsoring the podcast and believing in what we do. 800-804-SAVE or, so simple, fellowshiphomeloans.com.
One great thing, if you do get a chance to walk around and pray or just spend time actually talking to God, one great thing about that, if you're doing real prayer, it really takes guts. I can't say that enough. I think maybe that's what's been stopping me my whole life, not having enough guts to pray.
Hmm. Explain that.
Well, because it's not like I feel like God's going to squash me, although maybe I did when I was younger, for all the things I've done wrong or am doing wrong or all that. It's more like I can't, if I'm being honest with him, I mean, I can't make half-hearted excuses if it's one-on-one, me and him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I feel like in public, you kind of pray thinking other people are listening or whatever, kind of aiming it at them. But if it's just me and him, it's all there. It's obvious. I'm naked before him, like all my motivations, all this. So there's no reason to mess around anymore. But that takes some guts, right? Mother's Day. That's right. What do moms really want is the question. Besides my new book, what do...
That aside.
Yeah.
Yes, The Truth About Us.
Maybe they want a gift card for dinner plus my book, or my book and some flowers, or my book and chocolates. Does she like chocolates?
There's so many different options.
Oh, yes.
And combinations.
It's my book and a card. Whatever. I don't know. I don't know what she wants. I have no idea. Ask your mom.
It's your mom.
So this made me think of you, you person listening to the radio, you friend. A 79-year-old in Spain was in bad shape for over a month, it says, and was ready to throw in the towel, this with fighting coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
His doctors turned to Twitter and got over 15,000 messages from people telling him to keep fighting. Mm-hmm. His granddaughter's been reading these messages to him, and they say it's had a big impact. It's like he's being treated with a very new, effective drug. So little encouragements from people are like a very effective drug. If you want to encourage somebody, it's extremely effective. Little encouragements. At least I do, I'll raise my hand.
Mm.
I totally downplay, I underestimate the explosive power, the medicinal power of encouragement, of breathing life into somebody, breathing courage into somebody. It's what it means. People working really hard, real hard out there doing all kinds of stuff. This is from General Mills. People mm-hmm. there working hard, mm-hmm. advertising people, promotions people, yeah. graphic designers.
Yeah, they're turning it out there.
Coming out with the Baby Yoda cereal now.
What is that?
I don't know. That's a lot of work. You got to think about all the work that comes into promoting something like that.
Yeah.
Come up with all the
right
graphics. And,
mm-hmm.
and I want to say... If any of you are listening to the show, probably
of course they are, sure.
You don't have to do this. There's other stuff we could use you to do or whatever.
We've made it this far without a Baby Yoda mm-hmm. cereal, and I think we should be okay.
Volunteering opportunities out there if you want to spend your time on something else, because we already have cereal. We don't need Baby Yoda cereal. It's tough to keep up with all the news all the time. I get it. So you're probably not reading the journal Nature. That's fine, too. but I did want to let you know.
Okay.
A paleontologist, Dr. Nisar Ibrahim, mm-hmm. and his team have concluded in the journal Nature that, remember in Jurassic Park 3, the Spinosaurus? Anyway, it was a land-based predator, and it would occasionally get in the water.
Okay.
They say that's exactly wrong. And in Jurassic Park 3 is wrong because that reptile actually was water-based and would uh-huh. occasionally get out of the water, not the other way around.
Did Jurassic Park 3 assert that they were doing something historically correct?
Yeah. See, this is... You're going where I was going with this. I think if we go over the Jurassic Park series with a fine scientific
we may find some other inconsistencies.
Might be some things like, I don't know, the raptors that each had an IQ of 200 that were outsmarting the humans. That could be part of it, too, if you really look. Question, are you very outdoorsy? Sherry is not.
I am not. No.
I'm not for a guy. I'm embarrassed. But I was thinking about, I have kayaked before, you know.
Yeah, and you like hiking.
I do. I like getting outside. You like walking around. Yeah. Hiking's just a cool way of saying walking. But I was thinking about this. When you go kayaking, you've got the boat is for you. It might be kind of lightweight, but it's still a drag to drag it. Mm-hmm. You got to drag it into the water and then get it going. It's not very fun. That first part there to go, mm-hmm. it's hard. But then once you're in the current, it's like, okay, now we're out there going. Mm-hmm. This is really similar, I think, just throwing this out there, food for thought, to praying for somebody you don't like, praying for somebody that's driving you crazy or is out to get you. And it's really hard at first, but what you're doing is God already loves that person. The river's already going. Mm-hmm. So what you're kind of joining in with him and his love for that person. Mm. And it gets easier once you start. It is like dragging. I know it's hard. It is like dragging a boat through the mud to get it into the river. But man, that river's going. And better to be aligned with the reality of that river than to stay up on the bank by yourself. They say that we aren't going to want to shake hands much anymore, that's going to kind of go by the wayside. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that. I really am.
I never really cared for that anyway.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Understand any interaction.
Right. Okay, yeah.
We got to replace it with something. And I know this is going to be laughed at and mocked, blah, 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 but mm-hmm. I really do think that the Star Trek thing where you hold your hand up and do the little mm-hmm. and say live long and prosper. Mm-hmm. I know it seemed like a joke at first. Mm-hmm. But it's cool. Like you don't have to make contact.
We have to do the hand thing. Can we just tell someone to live long and prosper?
Well, some sort of physical act. We're physical okay. beings.
Just a little wave.
Yeah, some little hold okay. your hand up there and do that whole thing. I think it's like a blessing on people.
I was prepared to mock and laugh, but that makes a little sense to me.
Thank you. You know what? I actually wrote down, because you never know what I'm going to talk about.
That's true.
How I would respond to when you started laughing at me. I was going to be like, oh, so you're against blessings?
No, I'm
oh,
not.
Oh, wow. Wow, see, Sherry. Wow. You, that's how I would have finished
you,
it.
You didn't calculate
I literally
right.
wrote down, wow, Sherry, wow. And then you agreed with me. Happy Mother's Day to moms. You deserve it. You're wonderful. So on and so forth. I am fully aware. I saw another study about this that we spend like 2 or 3 times as much on Mother's Day as we do on Father's Day.
And how do you feel about that as a father?
I'm okay with it.
You are. Okay, why?
Spiritual maturity. We guys are way less prone to materialism. We value really? Moments and time and of relationships course. And yeah. not just stuff.
Yeah.
So, for us,
perhaps we should look to you and learn.
Yeah, if you will just look to us and learn, that's all we ask, I think. And now we have some extra stuff for the podcast. This is extra stuff for you, podcast person.
And we like. Yeah, the applause there is yeah. to underscore that you're going to enjoy mm-hmm. it.
Well, okay.
I don't want to set the bar too high.
No. By golly. Okay, this is a really nice note here from England.
Oh, okay.
The land of the Angles.
Sure.
It says, Dear Brent and Sherry, I'm writing to you from central London. We are in lockdown, of course. I want to thank you for being my friends throughout this time. Some days I don't have the mental capacity to listen to a sermon, but I need someone to ground me and remind me of God's grace. Mm. Thank you for being joyful. Now, this is going to sound all self-congratulatory. So
well, I mean,
but,
what do you want to...
Hey, you know, what she wrote, so...
She wrote... Perhaps you if know, you say it in an English accent, people will be able to...
Thank you for being joyful, easy to listen to, but also deeply encouraging presence.
That's helpful.
In my home. I really do feel that you are friends, she says.
Sweet.
I just listened to your podcast, Race, Grace, and an Assignment. The podcast we just did about the shooting in Georgia. She said, I found it very moving, and my heart really goes out to you, to Sherry in particular, and to all the people in your position in the States. It taught me a little bit about the tensions over there and helped me to think about how things are for people here in London, too. Mm. I'm a white woman. I grew up in the north of England, and I can remember the first black person I saw. I was probably about 10. In 2008, my white husband and I moved to council estate in London called the World's End Estate. I think in the States, you call council estates the projects. Mm. We moved here to help a young church plant, expecting to stay for 2 years. It's still our home, and we're raising our 4 children here by God's grace. Anyway, there's a lot of social deprivation and poverty, mental health issues, family breakdown, addictions are the norm. It's a very diverse community. It's also on King's Road, which is a famously affluent, fashionable shopping street and one of the most expensive places to live in the UK, Chelsea. So it's an interesting place to live. The rich just live across the road from the poor. There's prejudice. We also see all sorts of things, and I really do mean all sorts. Hmm. Our small church is diverse. It reflects the local area. Many African Brits, many mixed race people, some Asian, a few white people. It's taken time to become diverse, And we're very grateful to God for sustaining us and changing us in this way. The thing I like about it the most is that we challenge each other's cultural idols. We're all on a journey, and we've still got a long way to go, but my brothers and sisters in Christ from other cultural backgrounds help me to challenge myself. Plus, they share their wonderful food with me. I've learned to love jollof rice and fried plantains. Yum. I've learned that some women in my church are called auntie. I've also learned that some of my brothers will be stopped and searched by the police, even though my husband probably never will. Anyway, I've digressed a little, but I wanted to say how sad I am, deeply sorrowful, that the situation in America seems to be so segregated. We have our problems here, too. We're always learning how to love people better, and I think I'd be sending a different email if I were a black woman. One thing I learned from your podcast is to consider how my black family feel when there's another stabbing in London, another black life lost. It affects them differently. And I hadn't really thought about that before. I've even felt that it might be a bit offensive to do that, that it might seem like I'm labeling or pigeonholing people, but I realized that I should at least ask how people are feeling. Mm-hmm. I hope my little email can give you a little bit of hope that there's a better way. People of different backgrounds and skin colors can be united and praise God together. They can live together as family. They can learn to put each other's needs first. We all have to sacrifice comforts if we want to achieve this, but by God's grace, we can do it. And we will receive more blessings in return than anything we've given up. And together with you, I look forward to the day when we will stand with people from every tribe and tongue and nation, praising the Lamb and singing, "Holy, holy, holy." Mm-hmm. I'm praying for you. Sorry this is a bit all over the place, but I just wanted to reach out to you both. I've shared your podcast with friends here in London who've also found it helpful. So much more I'd love to say, but my children are calling me. With much love in Christ, writes Catherine.
Oh my gosh, that's wonderful.
Isn't it?
It is.
And pretty hopeful, huh?
It is, very hopeful. And what I know to be true, which is if you're willing to be with people who don't look like you, but love the same Jesus you love, and you're willing to endure whatever that mess looks like, because it will be, you are better for it, and it does look more like Jesus. I hope that, does that make sense?
It does, and it works.
Yeah.
It works. It works. It works. It works. But in this country, sometimes you can't imagine that it can.
Yeah.
You just can't. Well, England, there's a lot of different things going on there.
Yeah,
England.
Right.
I don't want to be oversimplify it. Thank you, Catherine, because I'm about to oversimplify everything. But it's like you are more than the quote unquote post-Christian.
Yeah.
You're further ahead than us on that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what ours is going to look like or where we're going on this. There might be both cultures might take a move toward God.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? But that you're in a place where Christians need each other in a certain way.
Yeah,
that we've had it really differently.
We have. We've had it what we think is good.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? I don't have to go over there if I don't want to. But, and we've talked about this on the podcast before. We're not, you know, trying to glorify anything or anything. But when there's persecution, at some point, it'll start not to matter.
Yeah. When you're on the margins together.
Yeah.
Huh. Look who's here. Hey. Yeah. And maybe I have more in common with you than we do with those other people.
Mm-hmm.
We might want to entertain that idea. It makes it really hard.
Yeah.
When all the other stuff is blowing up all over the place. I know you wanted to thank people in general for reactions.
I did. I've received so many emails and direct messages and Facebook messages and tweets and just thank you. I'm trying to reply to everybody, but I can't. But you guys have been so wonderful and so supportive. Thank you specifically for acknowledging. So many of you acknowledge what it must feel like emotionally to have to unpack that on a podcast in mass media. Mm-hmm. It is exhausting. And so the fact that so many people were dialed into that made me feel it was refreshing to me. It was restoring to me, and I just can't say thank you enough.
Pretty cool. Thank you again, for the encouragement for Sherry and stuff. It means a ton to us. We are very thankful for you.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, The Truth About Us, go to BrantHanson.com.